Don't turn it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tan Talk Radio Network.
It's time for the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the Ferg Sports Bar and Grill Studios, across from Tropicana Field in downtown St. Petersburg, Florida. Providing a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps and the pros across Tampa Bay and the USA. Get your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection and your hosts Mike Rickard and Ben Botham.
Good afternoon, Tampa Bay, and welcome to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network on this Super Bowl Saturday, February 11th. We're live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill Clubhouse Studios across from Tropicana Field in downtown St. Petersburg. I can't even speak this morning. Florida, it's been a long morning already. Alongside me is Ben Botham, my number one draft pick from Savannah State. Thank God he's in the house today. What's happening, young man?
Oh, nothing too much. Excited to be out here on a pretty windy day today. Looks like we're going to get some rain.
Not while we're on the air, my man. I already had to consult several meteorologists prior to setting up outdoors because we want to be right in the middle of it. Like I said earlier on the T Florida, it's the Cupid run.
Yeah. And they're all supposed to be in their underwear, correct, Mike?
Yeah.
Is that what I'm hearing?
It's taking place right here at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. It's always a party down here. Today, on all the 100 plus televisions, you'll have plenty of college baseball action and then basketball action. And then, of course, tomorrow, Super Bowl, about 4 o'clock, the festivities begin. We open up at 11. It'll be active, but it's going to be a great weekend down here at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. And I know near and dear to your heart, next weekend is the basically the Fan Fest, isn't it?
Yeah, Fan Fest is going on, and I love Fan Fest. It's one of my favorite events the Rays put on, and it's just great to see everyone out there, see some of the players, and they always do all kinds of giveaways and stuff. And believe it or not, Mike, I actually won a signed Evan Longoria baseball bat at Fan Fest a few years back. Well, back when Evan Longoria was on the team, so going on what? 10 years ago now.
Collector's item. You were 14 years old then. We've got a jam-packed show as always, and we're going to start out with Triton Time, the Eckerd College men's golf head coach, Bill Butner, and he'll stop by. Ray Cole, he's a fellow Iowan, and I know you guys get tired of me talking about Iowans, but this guy's got his footprint reaches the entire country, and you name it, sports, entertainment. He's written a book. I'm looking forward to this conversation. He went to college in my hometown. You get tired of hearing Sioux City, Iowa, but he's got some Florida ties. He still manages Sarasota television station. He's down here often. We'll get him up here to Ferg Sports Bar and Grill sometime this spring. Maybe he'll bring John Walters, the voice of the Iowa State Cyclones, because now I've got some Iowans that may tune in and want to listen that are down here and have migrated down here. In our ice pick conversation, we'll have the Big O and the Axeman, Oscar Garner III, and of course, Alex Reba. They'll chime in with you and myself, and we'll do a little roundtable on Super Bowl 57. We've got the prop bets. It's just the prop bets are out of control.
Hey, I love it, Mike. I love gambling on everything from the national anthem to the halftime performances. That's great. That's just some good fun right there.
Well, speaking of the Super Bowl, we'll have Randy Grimes, of course, former Baylor Bear. Randy Grimes was the offensive starting center, good friend of the programs from 1982 to 1993. He's been on Radio Row all week long, promoting his book that came out on February 8th of last year, and that is Off Center, Athletes in Addiction, and he travels the world speaking about the perils of opiates and the pain that families and athletes go through, and his story of recovery is incredible. So he's been on about 50 radio stations across the world and America all week long, and he has an absolute blast, and we'll catch up with Randy Grimes as well. Now, near and dear to your heart, at 12:30 today, we will talk to my good friend, the executive director of the Ted Williams Foundation, Dave McCarthy. He's a great storyteller, by the way. He's got Ted Williams stories. But we're going to talk a little spring training because Grapefruit League, it's this week, isn't it? This week, catchers and pitchers report.
Pitchers and catchers out there, you know, this is...
Oh, I'm sorry. You have to start the pitchers.
Yeah, pitchers and catchers, of course.
I said catchers and pitchers because the catchers are the brains on the team.
Oh, geez, Mike, you're killing me here. Come on, the pitchers got a little bit there too. But, you know, it's going to be real exciting. We got a lot to look forward to, especially with some of the games being played at the Trop this year. It'll be pretty cool.
Well, we got 15 games. As I said, Mark Ferguson that came on the air a couple weeks ago, we did a little promotion. Now that it looks like the Rays are definitely going to stay across the street. Great news for us here at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. Great news for my opinion, your opinion, for St. Petersburg and Tampa Bay. It's going to be 86 acres of development. It's going to be gorgeous. It's going to have a world-class, the Heinz Company that's done world-class stadium development is in the project. The Rays signed off on that. You can't go wrong, and I know what your feelings are. It's where it should be.
Yes, it's absolutely where it belongs. And one of the great things that they're doing this season, in the meantime, until the stadium's built, is at least 1,000 tickets per every home game will be $10.
I think that we talked about that all last season when here they were, you know, pushing for another 100-win season. And no, there's no butts in the seats except for when Boston, New York, maybe Philly came to town. And we talked about that all year long because they're going to make their money back at the concessions. And when they made that announcement, I said, bravo. So 1,000 per game. They're non-transferable. So my old buddies out here that scalped the tickets, they were probably just licking their chops. The good old days. Remember when they had the 7-Eleven deals?
Oh, yeah. I know it. It's, you know, I do wish that they still had the ticket booth open up at the front so that way you could walk up, buy a ticket.
They still had paper tickets.
Exactly. You know, as collectors, we want to be able to hold on to something from the game. Now all you can do is print off a receipt off the computer. It's a little bit of a bummer, but... You know, I am excited that they're doing something to finally get fans into the doors.
Yeah, I tell you what, I've watched the demise and the poor scalpers go the way of the dodo bird. It's kind of like back in the day in the small towns and big towns, the old bookies and scalpers are done. Is it they've legalized everything and then they've basically shut out, the paper tickets. And I see these guys are my age. I can't even run the MLB app, the poor bastards. I feel sorry for them. And, they're out of business.
Hey, well, the scalpers were giving you a better deal than these teams are with StubHub and all that, with all the fees that they charge you.
But Joe Biden's going to change that.
Oh, of course. I'm glad he's fighting for us there. So, yeah, it was pretty disappointing whenever you boot up the app and see, oh boy, a $10 ticket, that's great. And then you pay $10 in fees plus the taxes and then the transfer rates and all kinds of other stuff that they lump on there. Just ridiculous. That's why we got to bring back the paper tickets. That'll be my stance this year. Hammering the Rays.
20 years back. But you hammer them on many topics. 24 years young, you're an old soul. And we'll talk about that. So we've got a jam-packed show. Anything you want to go over in our Fergs from the front row?
Interesting
stories of note.
Yeah, so there's been some drama in the card collecting community. Panini, one of the top manufacturers.
Isn't Panini the ones that are just huge in soccer out of Italy?
Yeah, they're very large in soccer. They currently have just the rights to the players' names from Major League Baseball. They do not have the rights to the team.
Oh, so they're going to dip their toe in the baseball
world.
Well,
they have been in the baseball world. They're about to lose all their rights altogether, and right now they're trying to pump out as much as they can. And an issue with that is that Panini created a one-of-one Babe Ruth cut auto card. So it's a Babe Ruth card with an autograph of the Babe cut and put into the card. But instead of Babe Ruth being in there, they placed George Brett.
I've been fortunate enough to meet George Brett on several occasions back in Kansas City and Des Moines. Next time if I get an opportunity to say, Babe, how you been, baby?
Yeah, but they ended up finding...
Babe Brett?
They ended up finding the Babe Ruth auto placed in a one-of-one Ty Cobb card. Jeez. So now the question is, where's the Ty Cobb autograph?
Soccer people should not be in the baseball business.
I know. It was pretty rough for them. I think they're just trying to get out everything that they
can.
They're
getting the hell out of that business because their credibility is completely gone.
Oh, yeah. It makes it real tough, but... For the major producer of sports cards, Topps, which has the license to both the name and
who
likeness,
owns Topps
and
everything. Now some
Fanatics.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Has purchased Topps. Unfortunately,
I'm working on Fanatics for sponsorship. By the way,
fortunately, they purchased Topps then.
Yeah.
And this year, Series 1 will be released in February with Juan Soto being the number one card in the set.
Juan Soto.
Juan Soto is going to be the number one card.
Really?
To lead off the top Series 1 releasing February 15th.
Why wouldn't they go Ohtani?
Ohtani was last year. He was the number one card in last year. So
well, you're the
year.
Expert in this area. Do you have your collection insured, youngster?
I probably should get around to doing that. I recently got my Jackie Robinson card in the set. He's the number one card in the 1953 top set. And I'm only about 40 cards away from completing the 274 cards needed in the 53 top set.
Well, we've talked about it. We're launching the stream. Of course, the stream will be your local Sports Connection and national podcast home right here on RadioSaintPete.com. So it's the only kind, the only platform of its kind in the region. And I think what we need to do is have a couple of times a month podcast for you as well on collecting, because the passion that people have, and even young people now. That Panini story is a great story. Got anything else that, of interest out there?
Yeah, so a little news surrounding Tom Brady. It seems like it never ends with his retirement saga. Of course, he's the last professional athlete drafted by the Expos, but reportedly he will not be starting in the broadcasting booth with Fox until 2024 when they get the Super Bowl rights. Does this mean that he's leaving the door open for a possible comeback, pulling another
Brett
Favre?
Absolutely not.
You don't think he might squeeze in there with all the injuries that the 49ers have been having?
You know, as a die-hard Green Bay Packer fan, he just brought up something that bothers me. I forgot that old Brett, he had a little tour with the Jets and called it quits, and then he went to the Vikings. So maybe Brady may have another one in him. I hope not.
Yeah, I hope this is it for him. Maybe he's just waiting for the Super Bowl. You know, he kind of wants to be in the big dance one way or another. But, you know, we'll see. Of course, the NFL honors were going on last night with Patrick Mahomes winning the MVP. He is the 10th player to win MVP twice, joining Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Brett Favre, Johnny Unitas, Kurt Warner, Steve Young, and Joe Montana.
Kurt Warner gave that award out, and, you know, with my Iowa flag out and loud and proud. I was very blessed when he was with the Iowa Barnstormers, and he that was an incredibly successful story, the Kurt Warner story. And I thought of that with Patrick Mahomes, but he was, as a young man, you knew he was going to be an athlete, and his entire family thought that he was going to be a baseball player. And then it was his pops or his older brother that, when he started playing football, he realized that was the sport, and he was about in the seventh or eighth grade.
And that was a good choice. He's definitely the best quarterback in the NFL currently, and he definitely deserved that MVP vote. Geno Smith won Comeback Player of the Year, but there's some controversy there. A lot of people don't believe that he came back from anything, which I think is absolutely ridiculous. I think he absolutely deserves this award.
Without a shadow of a doubt, Saquon Barkley, however, came back from a horrific knee injury and had a heck of a season for the New York Giants. And of course, their coach got the Coach of the Year award. But I thought Barkley, but when you look at the body of work that Geno Smith did after filling in for Russell Wilson, everybody thought they were fools that go with him. I agree with that selection.
And the player who came, who got the second most votes was Christian McCaffrey, who also had a pretty good comeback to his season once he left the Carolina Panthers for the 49ers.
And then, offensive player?
The Buccaneers.
J.J. Jefferson.
J.J. Jefferson, yep. The Buccaneers' great Rondé Barber got the call to Canton, thankfully. You know, he started 215 straight games for the Bucs. He was a five-time Pro Bowler and a three-time first-team NFL All-Pro member of the 2000s. So finally, he gets to go into Canton, which, have you been to Canton, Mike?
No, I have not been to Canton.
See, I've been there once or twice. It was a lot of fun seeing all the busts. You know, I get to take a picture with Dan Marino's little bus there and take that puppy home.
I bet your father had tears in his eyes when he saw the bust of Dan Marino.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I do need to go check out. Got to go check out the baseball hall next. That's on my list.
Well, that should be your top priority. I tell you what, we're waiting for our conversation with the Body Armor Eckerd College Triton time with the golf team, but I bet you the way that I forgot that they're blocking the streets off and they're towing cars right and left as they prepare for this Cupid run.
Yeah, that's not looking too good.
Are you parked down there?
No, I'm parked in the Fergs lot. I'm pretty safe.
There he is. Just as I started bad mouthing you.
No, there's no bad mouthing.
Thinking
Tar Heel, but do not bad mouth me.
Well, why don't we take a break? We'll come back and we'll throw you on the air and we'll have a nice conversation with our Eckerd College Triton Time. We'll be back here on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network.
The first quarter is over.
Never show weakness. The only pain that matters is the pain you inflict.
Keep your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Are you ready to rock?
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Big Storm Brewing Company helps you weather any storm. From their award-winning Bramosa Tangerine IPA to their original Wavemaker Amber Ale, Big Storm has you covered. Give Florida's craft beer forecast a shot today and find out where you can get your Big Storm at BigStormBrewery.com. Enjoy an ice-cold Big Storm at tap rooms located in Clearwater, Orlando, Ybor City, and Odessa.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, serving Tampa Bay for 29 years, voted the Bay's best wings and sports bar, located across from Tropicana Field, is your sports headquarters and private party destination. Weekly live music, axe throwing, dog park, Rays Bucks and Lightning watch parties, every game and 95 televisions to guarantee your favorite team's games are always on. Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, Tampa Bay's iconic sports and party headquarters. Visit RadioSt.Pete.com for a great variety of local audio programs, live coverage of local events, award-winning syndicated radio programs, over 800 Tampa Bay musicians, and of course, local sports coverage. Download the free Radio St. Pete apps or find RadioSt.Pete.com on your enabled speakers. RadioSt.Pete.com is where local music lives.
Pulling out all the stops in the fourth.
All right, let's go.
Time to bring it home with the dub.
Let's get rocking.
Stick to the game plan with a Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Let's rock this joint.
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. We are live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, our clubhouse studios down here at 13th and Central, across from Tropicana Field, where they've got always got something going on down here in downtown St. Pete, one of the fastest growing areas in the state of Florida. And I know you've watched it over the years, Ben, growing up here. It's just amazing. And on a Super Bowl Saturday, very active. We've got a 5K in front of us here in a bit, and then we'll have a huge party behind us. Come on down and say hello. Watch any college basketball you want on one of the over 100 televisions we've got going on. But he's kind enough to take some time for us. We do the Eckerd College Triton Time as often as we can, get one of the sports teams. We had the softball team just down a couple weeks ago. The ladies, they were a hoot, actually.
Oh, they can be a hoot.
And Nicole Scales works for me now. I don't know if you know Nicole. She's on the basketball team. Yeah, she's one of my interns. And so we are blessed by, soon to be retired.
There you go.
Soon to be retired.
Don't get that confused with retarded. Just retired.
No. Bill Butner, he's the men's head golf coach. Thank God he brought somebody that has some semblance of appearance. Well, Ben, but
yeah.
Two old geezers, you and I, and he's Shane Derby and Darby. And so how you been, man?
I'm doing great. We're looking forward to the season. We had an event last week. We got one coming up next week. So we're starting the season off and running.
So have you been able to finagle funds yet for the men from a scholarship perspective over at Eckerd? Are the conversations still taking place?
Still a blank. We're still working on women's scholarshiping.
Gotcha.
Three good players coming in next year for the women, Holy Scholarship girls.
Well, where are you pulling your young men like this from, all over the country, or you're staying in the state?
People that play in the snow up the northern part of the country where they...
Smart people that move down here?
Yeah, smart people that come down here and avoid the snow.
Exactly. Well,
and speaking of one right here.
Young man, now where are you from originally?
From New Jersey.
You're a Jersey boy. All right. You got to be in absolute heaven down here this time of year, especially.
Yeah. I mean, my friend just came down last night, so he said it was 45 degrees raining. So Don't mind being down here in the warm.
Well, and it's not too shabby, the tracks that you guys get to practice on. Name some of the courses that, besides St. Pete Country Club that I'm well aware of.
We use Isla del Sol. We use St. Pete Country Club. Obviously, we use Mangrove Bay and Twin Brooks also.
Oh, so my buddy Kenny Betts.
Yep.
I tell you, folks, I can't describe this to you, but the visual today with this Cupid run is going to be interesting. We'll have to shoot some video, Ben.
Interesting to say the least there, Mike. It's quite perplexing.
Sorry. If you think my attention span is bad on the air, it's really going to be bad today. And you guys need to wear shades so that it doesn't look so visible. Anyway, let's go back to the topic, and that is college golf and Eckerd College. Of course, the Sunshine State is a conference is brutal.
It's brutal. It's made up of a lot of...
It's the SEC of Division II.
SEC of Division II for golf.
Is that a fair assessment?
Very much so for golf.
For golf? Almost every sport.
Well, yeah, I was going to say volleyball's pretty good. Baseball's pretty good. Basketball is the only one that really is not.
Well, in baseball, some of the baseball played at the Division II level down here, and Ben, you concur, is better than Division I in other pockets of the country.
Yeah, they definitely stomp on a lot of mid-majors. Eckerd, UT, everyone in that conference is outrageously talented ball players.
Well, and this young man was just a few hit. He was a pitcher. He was just a few hit by pitch. Eckerd came out to watch him play at Seminole. And what'd you do? Whack 8, 9 guys?
I definitely set a state record for hit by pitches. So
must have been bad wind.
it was bad something, and I definitely did not. Eckerd did not call me back.
It wasn't a great debut. Let's just say that. So let's talk about this team. You got youth. You got upperclassmen.
Yeah,
leadership. What do you got?
Seniors, so we're relying on the juniors to be the leaders. We got some good freshmen that have been competing. So we've got a combination of everything. But next year, obviously, there will be a few seniors to lead this thing.
And do you have a replacement for next year?
For the seniors or for me?
For you?
No, we do not yet.
Because typically, when you look at the rest of the sports in Eckerd College, you've got a lot of alum to take over the programs, guys that have played there. And I think that's I love that emotional equity that the coaches have because they played there. They love it. It starts at the top with your athletic director, Tom Ryan. You know, he played basketball there. He coached basketball. Now he's an athletic director, and he's got incredible passion for
it. We have a few guys that are still in the business in the coaching side and the golf side. So we're... Obviously, Tom wants to explore those guys, but still hasn't opened up to the rest of us.
Gotcha.
The world.
Now, do you have invitationals down here where the teams from up north come down and participate? You'd think they'd be dying to get down here this time of year.
They do. They want to play dual matches. They want to do something different. But we have our own conference set up where St. Leo hosts an event, Barry hosts an event, Flagler, all the other conference teams host events.
Do you host your own event?
We do not. I cannot find a golf course that's suitable to college golf. We need a big size range. We need a lot of hotel. I mean, willing to give up the golf course this time of the year.
Oh, that's the key, isn't it?
That is big key.
Well, I try to get out there to see if they want to trade out golf passes to be on our golf show. That was a big factor up north when I had the golf show. They don't give a damn down here. They don't need to.
Yeah, we're still having tea times right now to 4:30 in the afternoon.
At the country club?
Yeah, 4:30.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's crazy.
And that's a country club.
Yeah.
Imagine what Mangrove Bay is like. Well, I know Kenny Beck said you can't get a tea time.
It's sold out before they can even create them.
All right. Well, let's talk to the youngster and get some young interest going.
I'll look around and see what's distracting.
Well, and you notice I didn't bring up the North Carolina Tar Heels.
No, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
And I knew you weren't going to bring him up. You know, I'm sure you got tired of hearing it. He went to North Carolina. He was a hooper, and then he became a golf professional.
Heard that before.
But he's not bragging about his North Carolina Tar Heels this year, are you, partner? Yeah. All right. So let's go to you, Shane. Talk about how they discovered you, how you discovered Eckerd College.
Well, I was just looking online trying to find schools to play at. and specifically down south somewhere. So Eckerd College came up, and I just emailed a bunch of coaches, and Butner was like one of five that emailed back. So it was between like Eckerd or a school in New Jersey called Monmouth University, but I'd rather get out of the snow. So,
well, that was a wise choice. Yeah. And so, have you been here since your freshman year?
Yes, I have. Yeah. Only a sophomore, so I've been here for a year.
What's your favorite memory so far? Keep it to golf. I'm sure there's a lot of pretty ladies in the beaches and all that. Was an incredible memory for a youngster coming down.
But
yeah, let's look at some of the great memories. You know, you started here.
Well, for just golf, I mean,
golf.
Last semester I played pretty well. Had a couple of tournaments where I came top 15. So. Those have been really special memories for me.
And did you play golf all through high school?
Yeah, all through high school I did, but I played baseball up until eighth grade. And then I stopped playing baseball and just focused on golf.
Well, you can play golf the rest of your life.
Yep.
And I'm certain, what are you majoring in?
Business administration.
Business administration. A question I even asked the girls. Do you have a girlfriend?
It's complicated.
The last person that said complicated, it ruined it. When he got home, it ruined it because this is archived on RadioSaintPete.com. Yeah. So we'll just leave the complicated at that. And what are you guys going to do for a going away party for Coach Butner here?
We got something special planned. We're going to make it a good time for Butner.
All right. Well, I might want to be invited to that. I want to come see the roast or whatever you're going to do to him. How many years have you been at Eckerd?
It's my 21st season.
God bless you.
I hear you.
Yeah. So do you want to make any comment about the North Carolina Tar Heels? And
Yeah, they're a team in March. They start playing in March.
Okay, partner. Well, you're 3 weeks away from March.
We hope we start in March.
Exactly. All right. Well, who do you got? Where's your next tournament?
We are headed to Lake Jovita. St. Leo's hosting an event up north here, and the girls are going over to Grassland.
They got a nice track there.
Awesome. Very good golf course.
All right. And then you guys don't host one. You never get any teams to come over and play St. Pete Country Club?
We got the different teams. Allegheny comes down on occasion. We got different dual matches that we play. We're trying to – Harvard might be coming down this year. So all the northern schools.
If Harvard's coming down, you're going to have to get somebody else to represent Eckerd. I'm just throwing that out there.
We'll be all right.
He'll be okay, partner. Hey, of course, I'm sure everybody watched the waste management tournament, wants to watch the number 16. How do you think you'd fare on number 16 there in Scottsdale?
I actually played it without the grandstands up, but I don't know, that place with 100,000 people.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
How'd you hit him on that track?
I actually hit it pretty good. It was a couple of years ago, but Arizona is my favorite place I've ever played golf.
So, really?
Yeah.
More so than why didn't you look for schools there? There's water here. There's beaches here. The women are better looking here.
It's true. There's only like two schools that you go to, and it's ASU or Arizona, and they're way too good. So.
Yeah, they're loaded.
Yeah.
John Rahm, ASU.
Bill Mickelson,
ASU. I mean, it could go on and on. All right, my friend. Well, I appreciate you coming down, taking some time. Next time, I'll probably see you with the ladies. You're going to bring some of the ladies down?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Now, do their seasons run parallel?
They do. They have.
So you're working with the girls. So you're working with the girls and the fellas.
Every other week is the norm to travel with different teams.
All right, my friend. Well, enjoy the Super Bowl. Who do you think?
Chiefs.
Good man.
KC.
Got a lot of Chiefs in the house.
So Eagles aren't winning.
I certainly hope not. They'll be down here. They don't play well with people. So we put them upstairs in their own little isolated area. And it'll be that way tomorrow, too. This place will be an absolute madhouse. All right. For Triton Time, I appreciate you coming down, fellas.
You got it.
Thank you.
All right. Let's take a quick break, and we're going to talk a little Dave McCarthy and the Ted Williams Foundation. If you think I'm all over the place today, that's because we've got all kinds of things all over the place. I didn't realize it's going to be like this. It's like being in the middle of a parade. We'll be back on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network.
Time's over. Reset the clock.
We're going to shut them down.
Dial the down.
Do it!
And get your head in the game.
Visualize an attack. Yes. Visualize an attack.
Yes, 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 with please. The Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, live from the Clubhouse Studios, inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
I take a scotch and water. Hold the scotch.
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
It's another weekend. You can wash the car today.
No.
You can mow the grass today.
No.
You can go fishing.
Oh, hell yeah.
When it's time to go fishing or head out on the water, your first stop should be at Angler 360. Angler 360 is located on the Dunedin Causeway and is the one-stop shop for all your fishing needs and water recreational needs. Angler 360 has rods, reels, live and frozen bait, tackle, beer, and soda, plus apparel and sunglasses. Make sure you stop in and see exactly why Angler 360 is the premier bait and tackle destination in the Tampa Bay area. Visit them at angler360.com.
Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill at the corner of 13th and Central, across from the Trop in downtown St. Pete, serving Champa Bay for over 29 years, is your iconic headquarters to catch your favorite teams in action. With over 95 televisions, 35,000 square feet to serve private parties, game watching events, concerts, and of course all the Rays, Bucks, and Lightning action, along with your favorite collegiate teams. Join the party every game at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
I'm Captain Jeff Figgers from Florida Fishing and Adventures. Do you want to constantly catch more fish, spend less time changing baits? If so, Monster 3X baits, jigs, and scents are the answer. Monster 3X baits are tough, durable, and resistant, which allows you to catch more fish per bait. The combination of the Monster 3X lure with the ProCure bait super scent, you will be landing more fish right away. Whether it's the Monster 3X Ultra Soft or the X Swim lures, Swim Shad, Paddle Tails, Crawfish, or the X Frog, Monster 3X, you'll always find it in my tackle box.
Pulling out all the stops in the fourth.
All right, let's go.
Time to bring it home with the dub.
Let's get rocking.
Stick to the game plan with a Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Let's rock this joint.
On the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on a very active February 11th down here, Super Bowl Saturday, sitting across from baseball Ben Botham. Let's do a little homework here, and then got a great conversation with the executive director of the Ted Williams Foundation, my friend, Dave McCarthy. Well, he probably doesn't call me his friend. Anyway, that was not my best body of work, that last segment with Eckert. I mean, this is like being in the middle of a parade. Am I right?
No, yeah, you're 100% right, Mike. It's a little distracting to say the least.
My word.
Some innovative outfits.
Yes, it is the Cupid Run. I think it's a 5K. Tomorrow is the marathon down here on Central. And fortunately, we didn't try to convince our next guest to come down here because parking is going to be brutal. You can hear us each and every Saturday. Our flagship is WTAN 106.1 FM, AM 1340. That's Clearwater, St. Pete, Tampa. WZHR. AM 104.3 FM, AM 1350 Zephyr Hills, and WZHR 102.3 FM, AM 1400. Covering all Champa Bay and streaming on RadioSt.Pete.com, and starting next week, The Stream. And I'm really looking forward to that. That is a sports-only streaming channel, the RadioSt.Pete.com. George Bordeaux and I came up with the concept, and we have got content coming at us. Anybody that has a podcast, and I've got to convince this gentleman to do a podcast for us too. Maybe once or twice a month we can do conversations from the clubhouse with Dave McCarthy, and he's kind enough to join me. How you been, stranger?
Hey, Mike, I'm great, and you know, you're at Ferg's where they have the best steak and cheese in the world. I wish I was with you. I'd be ordering one up right now.
I'm sure you would. So what have you been up to, my man? I know you've been busy. You were very busy and very happy with your foundation that you had the Jacksonville Jaguars as one of your charitable organizations. What a great season that was. And now you transition, and the Minnesota Vikings, and now you transition into spring ball and no COVID, and things look great.
Oh, we're excited. You know, we just added another team, the Orioles. We're helping them out in spring training. So we'll have, starting with the Phillies, the Tigers, the Tampa Bay Rays, And then the Orioles, the Minnesota Twins down in Fort Myers, and the Boston Red Sox down at JetBlue will be doing charity auctions and raising funds and doing some 50-50 to, you know, to benefit the different local charities. So we're excited about that. But you are right. Football was exciting this year. That quarterback in Jacksonville really turned that whole city around. New coach, and it was exciting times. So happy for Florida to have another great team on the rise.
Well, I'm sitting across from my new protege, baseball Ben Botham, and this gentleman that's on the earth this right now, he was the first guest kind enough to come on when I had two microphones and a podcast, and you had to carry me for like an hour just sharing stories. Well, this young man is a huge baseball historian. He pitched at Savannah State, and I'd like you to share at least one Ted Williams story. I love the one on the golf course. Our audience loved you back then, and now we've expanded the footprint. So why don't you share a couple of Ted Williams stories for us?
Well, yeah, the golf one is the best, I think. I'm not a golfer, but every golfer in Florida loves it. he was out golfing, and as you know, Ted had some very colorful language. And he was being followed by friends of his. They were a hole behind by the name of Pat Barry. And he's a former, believe it or not, 1949 Boston Bruin hockey player. So they can hear him swearing up ahead. And they come around the corner just as he misses a shot. And he picks up a brand new set of golf clubs, throws it into the pond, and he storms off. Well, these folks are, you know, they know what a dollar is, and those are Ted Williams clubs, and they're brand new. So Ed tells his wife, Pat, I'm going to run over and grab the clubs. And she said, you better not. He might come back. He goes, he's not coming back. So just as Ed up, she goes, wait a minute, here he comes. And Ted comes back, walks down to the pond, takes his shoes, socks off, goes out in there, feels around, lifts the bag up. She says, I knew he'd have a second thought. Unzips the side, takes his keys out, throws it all back in the pond, and walks away. needless to say, they Ed and Pat got the golf clubs.
Oh my God, that is absolutely a hilarious story, and we don't have to go into detail. But I wanted to know where did the King Eddie Fainter end up? That was an interesting story as well. The Harlem Globetrotters of fast pitch softball. Where did you end up with Eddie?
Eddie's finally home. His wife has him. But we had a very interesting night where this was years ago. She showed up at the Tropicana Field, and I was asked to come down. The police were there, and she was trying to throw his ashes on the field. First, which
the king in his court, Eddie.
That's
Painter.
Right. The king, you're king talking probably the greatest softball pitcher that ever lived. I mean, just an American icon. But long story short, you can't throw ashes in a ballpark. You know, if you did, half of these ballparks would be knee deep in them, and it really doesn't work good if it's artificial turf. So I wound up escorting her out. She wasn't in the best of shape that night, and I wound up with Eddie Fainter. I had his urn and everything, and I wound up having that for several years. I didn't know what to do. I didn't want to get in the middle of a family spat. So I really can't go into too much detail because I don't want to get sued, but the bottom line is about 6 months ago, and you know, I told you the whole story originally. 6 months ago, she called me from a nursing home up in Tennessee and said, hey, did I give you Eddie? And I'm like, yeah, he's living with me. And so I sent him home.
Well, I'm glad to see you sent him home. And I remember during COVID, you and I was working with you, and I thoroughly enjoyed that, and I still appreciate it. Just had a blast. But you're sitting at your office in the home, and I asked him, Ben, I go to you, and he's, I'm just sitting here having a little conversation with Eddie.
Here's a side note. Here's a story I can tell, and I've got a witness. I was with Dante Bichette, who you know is not only a great baseball player, but his son, Bo Bichette, is a great player for the Toronto Blue Jays, and they're from St. Pete. They live in St. Pete. So I was with Dante one day, and he saw a picture of Eddie, and he said to me, he said, oh my gosh, that guy was the greatest that ever played, and he just went on and on and on about him. So I looked at him, I said, you want to meet him? He goes, what do you mean? I said, well, come in here. And I showed him, and I said, I can't say anything to anybody, but right now I'm keeping him in safekeeping until we can straighten this thing out. So Tommy couldn't believe it. So, but well, you know what? All of these famous people go through stuff with their families and with everything, and I was just, you know, scared to death he was going to wind up, you know, where he shouldn't be on, you know, on the ground or somewhere, and I was happy to step in, and I tried for several years to get him back, and so just held on to him and hoped that, you know, I would get word from somebody, and then finally she came through, so I'm glad I was able to help, but I'm relieved that he's home and with her.
A story for the ages, my friend. All right, speaking of stories, why don't we share with the audience, because your story is excellent on how you met Ted Williams and how you became the executive director of the Ted Williams Foundation and have thoroughly enjoyed it and enhanced it and improved it. And why don't you share that story with the audience?
Well, I'll try to go quick as I can. I was captain of the state police. I was the governor's head of security, Governor Sununu. Not the current governor up there, who was his son, by the way, who I used to throw in the back of the car, Chris. But John Sununu Sr., he was the governor. And we had playoffs at Fenway Park. The Red Sox had came back and beaten the Angels and forced a game 6-7. So I was going to drive him down, and he said to me, I don't have a ticket for you. Just use your ID. Well, if you know anything about playoffs, every cop in the world uses his ID trying to get in. I'm like, that's not going to work. He said, well, wear your dress uniform. So we have a pretty sharp looking, look like the Mounties type uniform. And I wore that to Fenway Park, and I was up in the owner's box, and the door opened, and Ted Williams come in with his then 18-year-old son, who took one look at me and came over. And most young guys always want to ask you about the job or what kind of gun you have and all those type of things. I'm the opposite. I wanted to talk to him about baseball. But anyway, that started a 14-year friendship. And when Ted got to the point where he had a tough time getting through the crowds, he was in a wheelchair on and off. I put two of my guys that used to take care of the governor. We volunteered, and we would travel on weekends to New York City, Atlantic City, and we would take him to the shows that he did, his autograph shows, and we'd take him to the bat dinner up in New York. And I kind of got to meet everybody in the baseball world, DiMaggio's, Mickey Mantle and his family. And that wound up after I retired in 2000. Ted passed away in 2002, and I was called, and they said, would you take over his museum, Hitters Hall of Fame? And he always trusted you. So I moved to Florida before I could get anything done with keeping it financially afloat. The Tampa Bay Rays and Mr. Sternberg were kind enough to say, hey, why don't you move in with us? And I remember saying to him, well, ballpark footage is pretty expensive. And he said to me, how's free? And I said, free works. Free works for me. So
F-R-E-E, baby.
Yep, yep. It's, you know, as an old cop, I can tell you, the best kind of food is free food. So, in a serious note, seriously, he said to us, why don't you come in? You're a nonprofit. And he said, I'd like my fans to be able to tour the museum and, free of charge. And I said, okay, well, could we do some charity auctions? And we'll make some money for you, and we'll make some money for us to keep it going. And he was more than accommodating. Him, Brian Ault, who's now the president, and Matt Silverman, they were terrific. We actually expanded and did a little history on St. Pete baseball and the Tampa Bay Rays. And so it was a great partnership, and we're still in there doing charitable work with them. And it's because of the Tampa Bay Rays that really saved the Ted Williams Museum. And it was it's been a terrific run.
You're listening to Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. Conversation with Dave McCarthy, Executive Director of the Ted Williams Foundation. Brought to you by Shrimpy's Waterfront, our good friend over there, John. And I want to get your assessment of what just took place last week. Of course, that was the announcement that Ken Welch had proposed the Rays-Hines project. And now it looks like they will stay across the street. I'm sure that you were pleased with that decision, as well as Mark Ferguson and myself and anybody down here in the area.
Yeah, I am. We'll see how it goes. I'm very happy. I know the Rays have worked hard on that. I will tell you this. It always baffles me. I grew up at Fenway Park, which is an old iconic baseball park. And God bless, the Red Sox have been good to us. We still do charitable work up there as well because of Ted Williams. But I will tell you this. Nobody's been better to work with than the Rays. And I see here comments from people sometimes saying, well, you know, Tropicana's old, it needs to go, and this and that. I have to tell you, as a baseball fan all my life, I love that ballpark. It's time for a new one, but that Tropicana Field, the Rays have gone out of their way to put money inside that park to make it nice. I talk to people that come down from the Yankees and the Red Sox. These are fans I'm talking about. And they'll come up to me at the auction table and they'll say, I never knew this place was so nice. I'm reading stuff from these from the media online thinking it's terrible. It's a beautiful park. Kids can run around in there. There's all kinds of things to do. The food is good. Parking is reasonable. So I've always been a huge fan of St. Pete. I've always been. And if it works out for them, I'll be very happy for them.
Well, and I've always thought, and I've only been here since 2017, but we came down many times, my sons and I, and when, in fact, the first year the Trop was open, we went over there. I thought it was a very accommodable park by many examinations. I don't know why they didn't use it for more events, I guess, was one of the things that concerned me.
Hey, you know what? It's never going to rain. You're not going to get a rain out. You're not going to be freezing, which I've been up with. The Twins have a pretty new stadium. It's nice, but you freeze to death at the beginning of the season and you freeze to death at the end. Tropicana, I mean, it's, I think for families, it's just a great, great venue. And I have nothing but fond memories of it. And the longer it lasts, the happier I am. I appreciate them and the quality of baseball they brought to Florida and to St. Pete in particular.
Okay, I'm putting you on the spot, but during your illustrious career doing this and all your active relationships with people of sports, success, who besides Ted Williams, who was the coolest person you've had an opportunity to interact with? Who was a real down to earth person?
Boy, there's a lot. There's a lot. I like Wade Boggs a lot. His dad was a World War II vet. Wade is a very what's the word I want to say? He has a great heart for people, and he's pro-military, and he's proud of this country. And so I like Wade a lot. But, Andre Dawson, the Hall of Famer, he's a great one. Some of the older players like Mudcat Grant, Buck O'Neill, I'm trying to think here. Dom DiMaggio, terrific guy. Dominic DiMaggio, not Joe, Dominic. real regular guys. The guys, I think, that went through the 40s, 50s, up to the 60s. I mean, they were the real greatest generation, I think. And we've got some good guys now. Let me say this for Tampa Bay, since you probably have mostly Tampa Bay fans. I love Kevin Kiermaier, always have. Terrific kid, just a terrific kid. Really liked him. There's been several that have come through that organization that are, they're all pretty good kids, but there have been several that have been, really above and beyond, I think. And, I don't want to try to name one in particular. Just like most folks in every profession, you got a pretty good group there.
Yeah, I have to share the story, Ben, on how I met this gentleman. I was looking for a side gig, I still thought I was going to stay in retirement. And I saw, I don't know, it was on Indeed, something like that. And I just dialed it. I got him. I got Dave McCarthy. And I told him a little bit about my history, Cubs and sports and yada, yada, yada. He goes, good. Come on down. You're going to start next week. We're having the Hall of Fame induction over at the Trop. And I'll talk a little bit later on. That's about the extent of the conversation. So, I'm excited, I'm just a body for him because I think he didn't have any teachers right now at that time. So then the day of the event, it's a Saturday, I get over, he tells me where to park, and he walks up to me, he says, here's the keys. Now, he has never met me face to face. Here's the keys to his Cadillac SUV. You got to go over and pick up Mickey Lolich and his wife. And some of his friends were there, and they're all policemen. They stare at me. I go, Well, that was high security. He doesn't even know me. He didn't ask me if I have a driver's license. Just gave me the keys to his Cadillac. And from that day on, I have absolutely loved Dave McCarthy and how genuine you are, man. And I loved Mickey Lolich and driving he and his wife around that day. That was a nice memory.
That was a good memory. And it just reminded me of one more Ted Williams story I'll give you. And it's most people up north know this story. There's a story, it's more of a joke. Two young men are in a rowboat, and they're out there fishing in a big pond in Boston. And one of them says to the other, "If it was you, Ted Williams, and your father in this rowboat, and there was only two life jackets, and it started to sink, who would you save?" And the other young man goes, "Oh, that's easy." He goes, "I'd save Ted Williams." And the other kid looks at him, and he says, "You'd let your father drown?" And the kid looks back and goes, "My father never hit 400.
That's the reality of a passionate sports fan.
That's a real baseball fan.
Well, McCarthy, I look forward to our paths crossing. I know it's going to be that time of year when you just get crazy. If you ever need any fill-in help, Ben and I, we'll step up to the plate before your teachers get rolling. And I know it's not a great thing, but from a convenience standpoint, having the Rays right here at the Trop for spring training had to be a Christmas present for you like it was for Mark Ferguson.
Yeah, we're looking forward to helping the Rays this year. They got a great organization. I mean, we appreciate them so much, and I think it's going to be a good year. I'm excited, and I hope everybody else is, because I love all sports, but there's nothing like baseball. It's the best.
All right, my friend. Well, you're an American, you're a gem yourself. I respect everything you do. Oh, and I know you're probably pulling for those Kansas City Chiefs because you got your son over there in Kansas City.
Well, yeah, number 83, Noah Gray, is a very good friend of the family. He actually lived at my daughter's house when he first got drafted over there. He's Kelsey's number two guy, number 83, Noah Gray. Give him a little applause. But here's the other side of it. I do the Phillies in spring training, and I have a lot of Eagles stuff. So if they don't pull it off, I'll have some very nice Eagles stuff to sell the Philly fans. So either way, I'm just hoping for a really good game.
All right, Dave McCarthy. Have a great Super Bowl Sunday, and I appreciate you taking time to join us. I know you're getting ready for a very busy period of the year. Talk to you soon.
I will, and give my best to everybody at Ferg's. It's a great place.
Thank you. All right. I will let you. I told you this guy. He carried me. I just had a podcast. I didn't really know anybody in the area. And he said, "I'll come down." He came down for like five consecutive Saturdays. And it was, it was 2020. And it was Super Bowl. And we just had an absolute blast.
Yeah, that's a great story, though, about Ted Williams tossing the bag into the pond there, forgetting his keys. He's like, I got to go grab those real quick.
You know, he's got a lot of stories. Your dad probably has heard him, because I knew he came to Clearwater. The king in his court, four guys. He would pitch from second base, and nobody in the bigs could hit him. But he'd pitch from second base blindfolded. I saw him many times in the Midwest, and when they had actually an expose over at Tropicana Field for him, and when he said, "Yeah, I've got Eddie here with me, Eddie Fainer."
I'm like, "So that was the softballer."
Yeah,
was this the Clearwater Bombers, or
he played against the Bombers?
Because that was the big draw here for quite some time. Right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we'll talk more about that. All right, we'll be back. Hour number two, we're going to have Ray Cole on. We're going to talk to Randy Grimes live from Super Bowl 57, and then we'll break down Super Bowl 57. Live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, it's a Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.